Father, we thank you so much that you're already here in our midst. Father, we thank you that you spoke to us through the worship, through the word of tongue and the interpretation. We thank you so much for that. We don't take it for granted. And Lord, I ask that this morning a spirit of wisdom and revelation will be poured out upon each heart, that we will learn what revelation knowledge is and how to operate in revelation knowledge in our lives, so that we might fulfill the plans and the purposes that you've put within our hearts. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, let's look at Matthew 16, and we'll look in verse 17. What I have felt impressed to share with you this morning, and then again tonight, it'll be the same theme, so you'll want to try to make it to both services, is this idea of revelation knowledge. And I know I'm using a little different setup than you're used to, but I wanted to use the blackboard here. Revelation knowledge, important to your success as a believer, is learning how to walk in revelation knowledge. Haven't all of us faced a time where we needed to know what God was saying for this situation? And on the other hand, haven't we all experienced that time where you're driving down the road, man, you've got a problem, you've been thinking how to work this thing out, and all of a sudden, just like a flash of lightning, even some people describe it that way, it's just like a light turned on inside me, I had the answer. That's revelation knowledge. People describe it all different ways, you know. Some people use the word intuition. Maybe they're just not as grounded in the word, you know. They're just trying to describe this experience of revelation knowledge. They say, I don't know, it just came to me, intuition. Somebody says, I just heard that inner voice. I just had that impression. And I tell you, there's a key here. Because to the greater degree that we can flow in revelation knowledge, then to the greater degree we'll be successful whenever we confront those oppositions or those obstacles that stand in our way. Now let's look what Jesus says to Peter here in verse 17 and 18. And Jesus answered and said unto him. Now you know Peter was famous for getting himself in trouble. He always seemed to put his foot in his mouth. This time he did all right. Praise the Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. That's interesting to me. Evidently, there's two types of knowledge. There's flesh and blood knowledge. But Jesus says, Peter, I'm amazed at you. Usually you've got a big mouth, Peter. This time you did right. But you know, you didn't receive this from flesh and blood. Your brother didn't tell you this, but my Father which is in heaven. So glory to God, there's two types of knowledge here. There's flesh and blood. Now, there's nothing wrong with flesh and blood knowledge. But there's a time where flesh and blood knowledge ends, and you just can't go any further in that understanding. He says, But my Father which is in heaven. In other words, there was revelation knowledge. Verse 18. Now let's look closely at verse 18, because this is what we're going to build this theme of revelation knowledge on. I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now, if you underline in your Bible, you underline that phrase, upon this rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Say that with me. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wow. Whoa. Glory to God. My goosebumps get goosebumps when I think about that. If we can tie in to whatever this is, it says plainly the gates of hell just can't prevail. I mean, you know, now a lot of times we've read that, and the image we get in our mind is hell, you see, is attacking us. A mighty fortress is... You remember singing that one? I like that one. In fact, we had that one... We had some people sing that one at our wedding. I like that song. But you know, God doesn't want us always in a fort, hiding out, waiting for the rapture. Could be today, you know. There's been days I wish it was, you know. No, we're supposed to be on the attack. It says the gates of hell. The image that we should have is, glory to God, we are beating on the gates of hell. We're beating and the gates of hell can't prevail and they collapse and we go in and storm them. Hallelujah. Now that's the image. But what does he say here? What is the key to this? Upon this rock. Oh, what is the rock? Well, you know, there's different views. You go to commentaries and you talk to different Bible students and everybody's got a different view. Some people say the rock is Peter. Well, because the word Peter, Petra, means a little rock. There may be some truth to that because if you study in the book of Acts, Peter was instrumental in beginning the church on the day of Pentecost. But I don't believe he's the rock because he's dead and gone to heaven. I believe he went to heaven. What is the rock? I believe the rock is Jesus. But it's more than that. I don't mean it's more than Jesus. It's more than just saying the rock is Jesus. The rock is the revelation that Jesus is the living Christ, the Son of God. Now, do you see that? Now, there's a lot of people every Sunday, you know this to be true, every Wednesday night, they're in there, Jesus, 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 but their life is just a mess. They're not building on any rock. So it's more than just saying the word Jesus. It's building upon this revelation of Jesus. But hear me well. Now, this is the whole point of the message. Hear me well. It's built on the initial revelation that Jesus is the Christ, but then that revelation is to be ongoing, progressive, ever unfolding in the life of the believer. It's progressive revelation. Say that. Progressive revelation. Again, progressive revelation. Now, God will never lead you in a way that's opposed to the Word. I'm not saying that. But you know, there are things that God leads me in that are not in the Word. For instance, when I get ready to go buy a car or an airplane, I don't say, let's see here, airplane. Got it right here. Cessna. Okay, I'm supposed to go buy. It's not in there. I need revelation knowledge by the Holy Spirit. That's how revelation knowledge comes. Now, let's go back and read that with this understanding. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, Petra. And upon this rock, Petros, big rock, I will build my church. Did you know that God wants your life to be built? Some people have the image that God's always tearing them down. God's a good God. Let's say that. God is a good God. I like the name of this church, Abundant Life. I remember Martha and I, when I first saw this church, we were on the way to Robert and Manel's home on Hilton Head, and we passed that, and I said, look at that. I said, praise God, I'd like to get to know the people. But you don't just walk into church and say, here I am, you know. I said, I'd like to get to know those people. I said, I can tell what kind of church that is, Abundant Life. I said, that's my kind. Praise God. But you go to some churches, it's dead life. Just fill out a card if you'd like to join Dead Life Tabernacle. Hallelujah. We'll put you under the church. You know, and half of their property is taken up. Well, I don't want to get into that. Praise the Lord. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, aren't you part of the church if you're a believer? Aren't you part of the church? Therefore, He wants you to be built, and He wants you to prevail. I want you to say with me, Jesus wants me, to be built, and to prevail. You see, you're not to be prevailed upon, you are to prevail. And a key to this is flowing in revelation knowledge. Now, what is the word revelation? What does that mean? Let me give you a couple of definitions here if you're taking notes. One, the word revelation means God's disclosure or manifestation to man of Himself and His will. You see that? God's disclosure or manifestation, He makes it known, to man of Himself and His will. And number two, to make known by supernatural or divine means. So, to walk in revelation knowledge is to walk in knowledge beyond your own capacity to know. You follow me? It's walking in knowledge beyond your own capacity to know. I've always made a habit of studying and observing successful people. Whether they're believers or not, I just like to observe successful people. Because I believe that success is a science. I really do. And I believe failure is a science. I believe there are principles that if you operate in them, you're guaranteed to fail. I don't want to learn those, do you? No, we don't want to go through that. I've got 31. No, I don't have that. 31 steps on how to fail. I also believe there are keys and principles to success. Now, I believe God's Word is, in a sense, the success manual for men and women. And the principles are here. But as I've observed successful men and women, whether it's in business or ministry or whatever it might be, I've made this observation. Every one of them, almost without exception, can retrace their steps to some form of revelation knowledge. They may not call it that, okay? Especially if they're not grounded in the Word. They don't use that terminology. But they can always go back to a point and they say, yeah, I can remember in such and such a year when I just felt the time was right. They had some kind of revelation come forth in them. Or they'll say, you know, I just knew, I don't know how I knew, but it just came to me. I knew that I was supposed to do this thing. Revelation. Others who are a little bit more founded in the Word and maybe closer to God, they'll get a little more specific and they'll say, I heard a still small voice. Have you ever heard that? People say that. When they act on that, success. Other people that are really grounded, they'll say, you know, I was worshiping the Lord one day and He just showed me what I was supposed to do. All revelation knowledge. Some people don't know it. Some people know it. The ones who seem to fail are the ones who do it like try to do it like so-and-so did it. Are you all with me? They're trying to do it like so-and-so did it. They're not building on revelation knowledge. If we can learn to flow in revelation knowledge, hallelujah, every time we step out, it works. Praise God. Now, that's the way I want to live, don't you? I believe God wants us to be successful. Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What's He saying there? That you'll be successful. Because the fruit in that passage is not soul winning, even though that is a fruit. And it's not the fruit of the Spirit. He was talking about answered prayer. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Hallelujah. People are supposed to look at us and say, what does he have working for him? They come up to you and say, what do you have working for you? You really want to know? Yeah, I'd like to know. Jesus. That's right, Jesus. I mean, they should see our lifestyle, our character, our business, our ministry, our family, and say, what is it about them? It always seems they just always have good things coming their way today. What is it? Jesus. Now let me give you an example of two places in the New Testament. There's so many of them. Everywhere revelation knowledge is to be found. Go to Luke 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke 2. And let's look at a couple of instances where there was revelation knowledge. And when people acted on revelation knowledge, success and victory were forthcoming. And I'll tell you what, this church is built on revelation knowledge right here, Abundant Life. I can tell you that right now. Because I went out to eat with Pastor Bowman and his wife Glennis over here. I had ice cream. I think he had a bowl of soup, if I remember right. I ate the fattening stuff. He ate the stuff that wasn't so fattening. And we got to talking. And they began to tell me and retrace their steps. And they said, yeah, we can remember when the Lord told us to start a work here in Hardeeville. He said, you know, it was hard because this is where we grew up and so forth. He said, but, and you know, that hit me. He had revelation knowledge, and look what's here. And you go out there, and there's a faith image of a board of some other things that are going to be built out there, and you go in his office, and I like people that have plans and visions. He's got a schematic diagram by an architect of some other things that are going to be built. See, it's being built on revelation knowledge. It's working. He's not just doing it like so-and-so. I like that. That's the way I want to build my life. That's the way you want to build your life, isn't it? Whether you're a young person, businessman, whoever you may be. All right, Luke 2, and let's look in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Aha. Oh, he was one of those. And it was revealed unto him. Look at this. It was what? Now we're talking about revelation knowledge. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, man, that's weird. Because all the prophets of Israel had been telling about Christ is going to come one day. And still, a lot of the Jewish people believe he's still coming one day. And here's an old man. I can hear him now in the temple. Oh, here he comes. Ha, 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 snicker, snicker. Simeon thinks he's going to see the Messiah before he dies. Boy, that guy's about to kick the can now. He's old. Here he comes into the temple to worship. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jehovah God. Oh, thank you. This could be the day. I wonder if he's here today. Oh, thank you. All the little kids over there laughing at him. Look at him. He's looking for the Messiah. Oh, but he was building on revelation knowledge, folks. And look what happens. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, I think that's interesting. Evidently, one morning he woke up and the Spirit said, today's the day. Because it says he came by the Spirit into the temple. It doesn't just say he came into the temple on that day. He came by the Spirit. So he had a revelation that he was going to see the Messiah. And then on one day he had another revelation. Go on into the temple, Simeon. He's going to be there. Now look what it says. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hallelujah. Now don't you know there were other babies in there? Got a problem here. Lord, here I am. Wah, 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 wah. They're all crying all around. Oh man, which one is the one? Now you know Jesus wasn't laying there like the pictures with a halo glowing around his head. So he had a revelation that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. He had a revelation that on that day he was to go to the temple. And once he got there, he must have had a revelation and said, this is the one. Hallelujah. Now, you see, he fulfilled God's will for his life. And maybe that just happened to encourage Joseph and Mary. Who knows? But he fulfilled a cause he built on revelation knowledge. Now let's look at another small example. Go to Luke 5, just a few pages over there. Now, you businessmen, you take note of this one. You'll like this one. Luke 5. Let's begin in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Simon, you know, he's been out there all night. He's tired, man. He's trying to get his nets, you know, fixed up. He wants to go home, get some food, and go to bed. And then here comes the old preacher, man, getting in his boat. Thank you for letting me use your boat. Oh, no. I'm going to have to sit through his whole sermon, you know. I might not get my boat back. All right, verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Jesus, you don't understand about fishing. You're a minister. I mean, we've been out there all night. My business is about broke. You see these men here? I've got them hired with me. My boat business is going under. I can't afford to pay them. I've been out there all night. I don't think it's going to work. But there must have been a look in Jesus' face. There must have been a revelation that was imparted, because Peter says, Nevertheless, at thy word, at thy revelation, at thy word, you see what I'm saying? I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Hallelujah. How would you like to have a net breaking boat sinking load in your business? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. Now, when you build your business on revelation knowledge, glory to God. Jesus says, put it off on the right side. And you're sitting there saying, it doesn't matter. I'll go throw the nets here on the left side. I mean, the fish can swim under the boat. What's the difference? If Jesus says, put it on the right, put it on the right. Because when you put it on the right, I can just almost see Jesus in the boat. He kind of turned around, hit it. And those fish, whoa. And Jesus can speak to your customers and clients. Hit it! And they'll hit it. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's exactly what was happening there. A man's business being blessed. I've always wondered, how did Peter have the time and the finances to wander all over the countryside with Jesus? Well, after this thing, man, he was set up for a while. You know, whenever they ran low, Jesus would say, go fishing. And there would either be a bunch of fish or there'd be a gold piece in the fish's mouth. Jesus knows where it's at. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Ephesians 1 and follow up on this theme of revelation knowledge. Ephesians 1, 17. We looked at this yesterday for some of those of you that were with us yesterday. But we're going to have a little different slant here on this because we're talking about revelation knowledge. Now up here on the chalkboard, and I know this may be hard to see in the back, but I'm just going to do my best, try to follow me. Here I have the outline of the head of an individual, and we are going to give him a mind. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He has a mind, and he has a spirit. The reason I like to put the spirit down here close to the belly is Jesus said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know where the spirit is. It's probably from your toenails up to your hair, you know. All right, and then you have a physical body. Now, when you work with just flesh and blood knowledge, you're working strictly out of your mind and your intellect. But we're talking about a realm where, as a believer, I'll put HS here for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you see, as a believer, has joined with your spirit and they've become one. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach and train your spirit to operate in revelation knowledge. So that no longer is it just merely flesh and blood knowledge. There's revelation knowledge available to you because, you see, the Holy Spirit knows everything. He's unlimited. And He can give you insight and revelation on how to operate in your family, your business, whatever it may be, your ministry. Like for me, it would be ministry, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit. Oh, He's been there since creation. Hallelujah. Oh, He's just seen it all. He's so excited. He's going around the universe. He's excited. Your old spirit's in there like this. Before you become a Christian, He comes in there. Oh, wow, wake up, wake up. He gets on you. Wake up. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Every once in a while, when you start to receive the baptism of the Spirit, your spirit finally says, Shabba. You know, He's going, oh, that's good, that's good. Keep going, keep going. He's teaching you how to pray in the Spirit, you know. Oh, the Holy Spirit's there. He says, revelation knowledge. Yours kind of stretches. Before long, He wants your spirit to start beating in harmony and moving in harmony with the Holy Spirit. You do that by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and other means, you see. Ephesians 1, look at verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the believers at Ephesus. Oh, this is a good prayer. You need to pray this prayer for yourself regularly. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, here it is, underline it, note it, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There it is. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now I can imagine some of those believers, well, Paul, we're already Christians. We know Jesus. I'm not talking about the initial salvation experience. There's the ongoing, progressive revelation knowledge, not only of Him, but of His will for you. And if you'll build on that, you'll prevail and your structure will be firm and solid. But if you're just going to run around, you know, there's a lot of believers, they can't ever hear God for themselves. I mean, they're just running around, and there's nothing wrong with getting wise counsel. But I've seen some people, they run around and ask other people so many opinions, confusion sets in. And they're trying to do it like Brother So-and-so. Then they go try to do it, and it fails, and they come back, they're mad at Brother So-and-so. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever been mad at Brother So-and-so? You know, there's a better way. My sheep hear my voice. I don't believe in this hierarchical structure where, you know, this guy's up here and he's on top and you're a peon down here and you got to come all the way up through this chain of command to hear God. Now there is authority, you see, in the church. But I don't have any authority to come up to you and say, the Lord told me that you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and you have no idea of what I'm talking about. You need to go hear God for yourself. Because I can miss it. And I have missed it. That's why we need to judge prophecy. You have somebody lay hands on you and prophesy something on you, you just need to take that to the Lord. If that doesn't seem right to you, then just dismiss it. Don't get mad at Brother So-and-so. He just missed it on that day. Maybe he ate too much pizza before he came to the meeting. I don't know. But you're going to miss it too at times. I had a fella call me up from Vidalia. We just moved from Vidalia to Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, Jason, he said, or his wife did rather, he was at work, and said, Spin wanted me to have you call. This fella came and said something over him in a prophetic word, and it just didn't seem right. He stayed up all night confused. And see, he was young in the Lord, just didn't know what to do. And I showed him the verse where it says, don't quench the Spirit. In other words, be open to prophecy. Despise not prophesying. But it says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I said, just set it on the shelf. I said, maybe the fellow was right, maybe he wasn't. I said, just don't get hung up about it. If it was of God for you, I said, it'll line up with what the Lord shows you in your own heart. You see, and that's the balanced way to do this thing, I believe. Flow it in revelation knowledge. Look what he says. That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, or your heart, you see, we're not talking about physical eyes. Your spirit has senses. You ever heard people call it the sixth sense? That sounds like one of those ghost movies, you know. The day the sixth sense took over Hardyville, you know. Well, there's not just a sixth sense. Well, I'm here to tell you there's more than that. The Holy Spirit and your spirit have spiritual eyes. Isn't that right? He says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. He says that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Did you know that you have spiritual taste? Spiritual taste? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You get in some meetings, man, you just get so full of the word, you just go out and say, you just feel like, wow, oh, that tasted good. Your spirit, man, just ate it up. You've got spiritual ears. My sheep hear my voice. Spiritual smell. Did you know that? It says in 2 Corinthians that Jesus is unto us a fragrance, an aroma of life. Unto the ones that don't believe, it's the aroma of death. Spiritual senses. And part of growing up as a believer is training your spiritual senses. Because these spiritual senses are the key to revelation knowledge. Hearing it. Tasting the word. Their spiritual touch. Paul told Timothy, he says, lay hold, reach out and touch eternal things. Bring them into the now. Bring them from the spirit realm into the physical. Lay hold of them, Timothy. You take a little baby. How many of you have little children? Let me see your hands. Or have had little children. Let me see your hand. Going to have little children. Hallelujah. My hand goes up to that. Well, you take a little baby. He doesn't know that. Or she doesn't know that that stove's hot. They don't know what hot means. They're going over there. Yeah. Don't touch that. Hot. Slap his little hand. He comes back. Well, you know how they are. Looking at you. Ah! He found out what hot is. And he won't touch it again. There's a better way to learn. A lot of people, their spiritual senses, the only way they learn is through mistakes and failures, and some don't even learn that way. Well, it's better to learn. We're going to make mistakes. But the best way to learn is to be trained by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you see, in this area of revelation knowledge. Go to Colossians, and let's look at another passage on this. There's so much of this in the Word. I wish we could cover it all, but we can't. I'm just going to give you an overview this morning and then tonight. Tonight I'm going to give you seven specific keys on growing in revelation knowledge. This morning's more or less just the foundation. Tonight I'm going to give you seven specific keys to growing and developing revelation knowledge in your life. Colossians 1, and let's look at verse 9 and 10. This is very similar to what we just read in Ephesians. This is a prayer also of the Apostle Paul. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire. There's the desire. He had strong desire. That you might be filled with the knowledge, and I don't believe he's talking about head knowledge, revelation knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just flesh and blood understanding. He's talking about revelation spiritual understanding. Verse 10. Now, why? This is where I want to stop for a moment. Why? Do you need to flow in revelation knowledge? So you can go around and spook the community because you know things beyond normal understanding? No. So you can just, you know, go up in line at the Howard Johnson's and try to sound real spiritual. Did you know at this very moment your cat is somewhere that you don't know? No, nothing like that. People like that, you're not going to attract people to Jesus being super spiritual like that. But he says right here, the reason, verse 10, that. The word that means if you'll do the above, this will follow. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that's character, and being fruitful in every good work. In other words, successful in what you set your hand to and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So, This revelation knowledge has been given that we might not only increase in knowledge, but in our relationship, in our love with the Father. And through that revelation from that relationship, that we can be fruitful and successful and victorious in every good work. Which for you, every good work might be your business. Every good work might be your ministry. Every good work might be your home life. Every good work might be young people, you at school, or the older young people at college. That might be your work that God has you in now. But He wants you to be fruitful and successful in it. There are successful achievers in the body, and there are mediocre people in the body. And I don't mean that to say that they're less important. I'm just saying that they're not trained in revelation knowledge and they're mediocre. Somebody says, well, what's so wrong with being average and mediocre? We're supposed to be above average. Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do also. That doesn't sound mediocre to me. And greater works, I think he went on to say. Jesus set the standard for every believer when he says, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let me give you the definition of mediocre. Mediocre means ordinary, average, neither very good or very bad. Ordinary, average, neither very good nor very bad. But there's good news. Nobody in the body of Christ needs to stay that way or be that way. Nobody. Every one of us are to be supernatural achievers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Let's go to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. If you don't have an Old Testament, maybe you just brought your New Testament, try to look on with somebody next to you. 1 Samuel 3. God doesn't want you to be mediocre. God doesn't want you to be average. God wants you to be supernatural achiever for His glory and for the kingdom of God. 1 Samuel 3. And we're going to look at an example of a young boy who grew in revelation knowledge. Now, this is Old Testament. And man, if he could do it in the Old Testament, what can we do in the New Testament? And this is my point. You see, you're sitting there saying, well, I feel somewhat convicted by this message because I don't feel like I'm supernatural achieving. I've had some hard knocks. Like Pastor Bowen was saying before, even this week I've had to fight the devil in some things. I don't feel so good about this message. The good part of this message is you don't have to stay where you are. Glory to God, you can progress and go on. You see what I'm saying? We're not just going to leave you there. Come on. Let's go on into Canaan land. No, I feel like staying out here in the wilderness. No, we're going to drag you in today. Hallelujah. The 1 Samuel 3, look at verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So he was a church boy, so to speak. A temple boy. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, I don't have time to get into all the background of this, but Eli's sons were just living in absolute sin, in utter rebellion, and Eli wasn't even addressing the issue, so no wonder there was no vision in those days, and no wonder the word of the Lord was precious, because you can't live in sin and expect to get revelation knowledge. I mean, God may have mercy with you for a little while, but if you were here for that Samson and Delilah thing, you know eventually your hair is going to get cut, and you're going to try to shake yourself, and it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. He ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The reason I read that to begin with is I want to establish right off Samuel was exposed to the Lord. He wasn't ignorant of the spiritual things of that day. He was learning. He was in a training position. But Samuel, even though he ministered to the Lord and he was dedicated by his mama unto the Lord, he was not trained in revelation knowledge. And it was something Samuel had to grow in. And I want you to identify with Samuel. It's something that you must grow in. Well, bless God, I've been in the church for 40 years. I ain't never heard nothing of what you're talking about this morning. You can grow in revelation knowledge where you are right now. Let's proceed with the story. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, the Lord called Samuel. 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 We did this on Friday night. I want you to whisper your name. Just whisper it. It's going to sound like mass confusion. Let's just say it out loud. Whisper your name. Jason. Your first name again. Jason. Oh, the Lord's calling you. Did you know that? I believe God's always speaking to me. It's just sometimes I take the time to listen. Samuel. Little boy said, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli. See, he was a little mixed up here. He wasn't trained in revelation knowledge. And he said, "Here I am, Eli. You called me. I called thee not. Lie down again. You've had a bad dream, boy. Ate too many bagels." And he went and laid down. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel. Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now, I know a lot of believers that do just that. They got to, you know, run to their spiritual leader every time to hear God. If that spiritual leader is a spiritual leader, he'll train them how to hear God. You see. Hallelujah. Verse 7. I've got to give Eli that credit. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed. There it is. Revealed unto him. I don't think that means Samuel just didn't even know Jehovah God. I think it means he didn't know him in this area of revelation knowledge. He wasn't used to hearing God's voice. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Samuel. Samuel. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am." Now this guy, he's not getting any rest tonight. "For thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, let me bring this out to you. Samuel flunked the course three times. If you've missed it, don't be discouraged. If you've missed it three times in a row, don't be discouraged. If you've had hard knocks in your business or in your ministry or home life, don't be discouraged. Now, don't stay there, but don't be discouraged. You just learn how to operate in revelation knowledge, and you'll build and you'll prevail. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, "Therefore Eli said, Go lie down. It shall be that when he speaks, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place." Don't you know he was excited? Oh, I hope he comes again. "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." See, this is how I knew he said it twice every time. "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Oh, glory to God. When God starts speaking to you, He's got great things in store. God never gives you a revelation of small things. He always gives you a revelation and a vision of something that's so great, it's so big, you say, "How in the world is that going to be?" If it's something you could run out and do tomorrow, it's probably not God. Because God always gives you supernatural things to do. It's going to cause the ears of the people just to tingle. Ooh, Samuel, you mean God's going to do that through you? That's right. You mean God's going to do that for Israel? Oh, my ears are tingling. And then they run around and whisper in other people's ear, "You know what God's going to do?" That caused their ear to tingle. Then they run over here, "You know what God's going to do?" Now, I'm not talking about gossiping. Some of y'all cause people's ears to tingle and you gossip. You don't want to do that. You want to speak about what God's going to do. Now, Samuel flunked the course three times. In a row, I might add. But the day came that it was said of Samuel, not one of his words fell to the ground. Go to the last part of that chapter. 1 Samuel 3:19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. From that night on, he knew revelation knowledge. He did let none of his words fall to the ground. You know what that means? Samuel never missed it. Never missed it after that day. Whew. I want that. Don't you? Don't you? Now, when it says Samuel grew, it doesn't just mean he grew physically. It means that. But it also means he grew in this understanding of God. There can be a time in your life, if you'll just learn and if you'll just say, Father, I want to grow in this area of revelation knowledge for your glory, there'll come a time that your words won't fall to the ground. When you speak something, it'll be as the oracles of God, as it says in the book of Romans. If you're going to speak, speak as the oracles of God. Speak with authority. Speak as thus saith the Lord. You know that song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And then it goes on, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Whew! Because when you know, thus saith the Lord, buddy, you've got steel in your backbone. It doesn't matter if the whole world lines up against you, you've got steel in your backbone. Because you know those angels are encamped around you. You know those chariots are whizzing around you. They might not be able to see Him, but glory to God, you are not standing alone. Verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even unto Beersheba knew Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed, there it is, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This morning, I'm saying to you that revelation knowledge is one of the keys. There's many, but it's one of the keys to being successful and fruitful in whatever you set your hand unto. And it's something that, you know, we tend to think, well, guys like Oral Roberts and, you know, Kenneth Copeland and Billy Graham, I guess they just got a big dose of it somehow back down the line, but then there's the rest of us. No, if you're a believer, you've got the same Holy Spirit in you. He can cause your boat to get full of fish. He can cause you to know when to go into the temple and when to go into the highways to lead the people to Christ. It's something you grow in, though. You don't just get it all at once. It's something you grow in. And your words won't fall to the ground void. Praise the Lord.